Good morning, Saints. Shalom to everyone. Praise be to His holy and precious name. Thank you for the privilege once again as we gather together in the name of the Lord. I pray that God may speak to our hearts today as we continue with our devotion this morning. Today I would love to speak, as I had mentioned last night, as we continue on that state of thought, life is a mystery to be lived. Life is not something that it's a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be lived. Before we go into the word, let me just express my thought. Many times we are so serious and so busy and so much caught up in life. It's solving mysteries, solving and trying to sort out all the problems that we face and every difficulties. And, you know, as we solve one problem, another problem just stands ready to be attacking us. But life truly is not a problem to be solved. It is a mystery to be lived. You know, I heard this phrase somewhere, I really don't remember. But when I see what is this mystery, you know, first we have to seek out what is this mystery. We know that life is so very unique. We may be people of one family, of one faith, one body, one motivation to go to heaven and to be in His kingdom, to serve the great God and King. But we are born in different countries, different continents, different languages, different moment and different ages. But yet, when we rise in the Spirit, it shows to us that we are all one in the body of Christ, one in the true Spirit and revelation of Christ. No matter, we may look different, we may have different colors of our skin, we may have different genealogy from ancestors of what they believed in, what type of life they lived, but we all come and we are separated, we have been drawn, we have been called. And this is a special and a higher calling, my brothers and sisters. And as we stay true to this fundamentals, I really acknowledge that life is truly a mystery to be lived. There are so many things in our life. First of all, let me just express this to you. There are so many rich people that die as poor people and are in the graves and in the cemetery. When rich people have rich ideas, rich thoughts, rich motivation and very popular ideas, or they may have some invention but they are not able to fulfill in their life. They are afraid. They are scared. What about it? What if it fails? And they take all these thoughts and this treasure what they have in their lives and they finally succumb to the grave. My brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to acknowledge and trust. We are not going to make the graves filled with treasure. As Job said, "Naked have I come and naked shall I go." I'm not going to take any of my thoughts and rich wisdom to the grave. What God has given us, it's in a mystery form and we got to fulfill. Lord, today I acknowledge, I understand that why You have inspired me, why You have motivated me, why You have given me this precious revelation. There is a reason behind all of these things. So, my brothers and sisters, before we actually start, let's focus on some of the scriptures. First, we will turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. As we read this verse, it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory to this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now this, what God has embedded in us. Among we the people, among the Gentiles. And that is through Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. It is not something that which is, we can take it lightly. This is something that we must be serious about, what is been embedded in us through Christ Jesus our Lord. In the third chapter of Colossians and verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Once we have been enriched in Christ, we've got to set our affections, our desires, our motivation, our longing, our love on the things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, my brothers and sisters, there is something that we need to seriously understand. As we thrive in our life's journey, as we walk, as we strive, there are so many moments that our life gets into dejection, or it turns into depression. It turns into, we feel miserable, we feel suicidal symptoms and whatnot. You know, these are not only that it happens to the unbelievers, this can happen to any person, because we are not able to fulfill, or we are not setting our affection on things above. David had similar experiences. He writes in the book in Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, cast down feeling, dejection, this depression is a killer disease, where we find spiritual dryness, continual crying, feeling of shame, lingering memories. But remember, as we see this great river Jordan, it starts from Mount Hermon. When it speaks about Mount Hermon, it is like the dew of this Mount Hermon, where the dew is upon our head and it's like a fresh anointing. And as we have anointed, when we are being given that precious grace to live for the glory of our great Lord and King, we go and we come to that another state of Jordan, that is the River Jordan, where it speaks about death, and it's our baptism, where we are born again. And when we are coming to this state, you know, we are empowered with strength and wisdom and miracle, that we are able to cross the great fury of Jordan, the crossing of the River Jordan. My brothers and sisters, I am just talking to you about certain glimpses. I would like to take you to another scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now which things we speak not in words with man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here in this verse, it so vividly expresses the very truth in it, as Paul says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. That we might know what is our responsibility, what is our sole duty, solemn work that we need to do. It's all for the glory of God. It all counts for the glory of God. If we turn our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now remember the word, and I am so touched by this word, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Vessel unto honor. Now, honor is not a gift of God. Honor is not something, the power of God. Honor is as per your sacrifice, as per your dedication, as per your qualification, as per your completeness, surrender to God and to bringing out and to bring a victory and to win, to enhance the glory of God. It's an honor that is given to us of God. My brothers and sisters, let's focus on these things. As I told you, great men died as poor men in the cemetery. They carry their wealth to the cemetery. Are we one day, probably if the Lord delays His coming, we may also be taken to the cemetery. But are we going to carry our wealth to the cemetery, or are we going to collect our treasure and lay our treasure in heaven? Every good deed, every honest report, every good invention, every good sacrifice is our treasure. And God will honor for everything that what He has seen in us, the worth. We got to make our life worthy of His calling. He has not just called us these good-for-nothing characters, but He has called us because He saw some worth in us. May we learn to live for that honor and for that dignity. The Bible also says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, if that so means that if I express my fear, I attract the spirits, or my spirit unlocks the spirits of fear. It is all in the power of our thoughts and in our tongues. If we speak death, we unlock the spirits of death and we allow them to enter the arena of our minds and get them torturing us. Jesus said, "For men shall be held accountable for every idle word." Men shall be held accountable. We will be accountable. We will be responsible for what kind of thoughts that we expressed, we spoke through our mouth. Because that what lingers in our minds, we keep talking about. And it says, men is being given the keys, the authority. And the word key is something that we can imagine and we can express and we can enter into that realm. Even our conducts are as a key, that even that which unlocks the energies, our anxiousness, our fears, which brings us to the arena of fear and torment. But if we discipline our eyes, you and I will be able to see and look upon the unseen. You know, Jesus said, "You shall see." The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Himself stated, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, seeing God is not in His awesome, awesome holiness, but to see Him the way He is. In our daily life, there are so many revelations, so many expressions of His goodness that we would be able to see Him. He also says, like the blind at the pool of Siloam, that man stated, "I know once I was blind, but now I see, I see." Now, what do we see? Do we see something? You know, we were all once blind, but now we see. What do we see? I see this mystery revealed. I see Christ has empowered me with a vision to see the things which are unseen. You know, we also see, as the Apostle John stated, he says, When we shall see Him as He is, we shall be like Him. To be more like Christ is our continual process, is our day-to-day process, to see Him as He is. And the day we shall see Him face to face, we shall be like Him. There would be a great and a wonderful and a powerful change, which would be one of the greatest thing in the history of this world, to be totally like Christ. We read a scripture in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who once through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death for the redemption and transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Which are called according to His purpose, called to walk, called to proclaim, called to testify, called to walk and be lifted to greater heights. We are possessing that great favor of God, that is His calling. And that is the great mystery of God. Though we may be so many distances apart, but the calling remains the same to each and of every one of us. We may be called for a different purpose, but it is the calling of the same God and King. I pray, my brothers and sisters, be blessed. Stay strong. This is a mystery that is embedded in every one of us. We've got to live it out. Don't lay your treasures in, or don't bury them in the sands or in the graves, but carry your treasures into heaven. God bless you. Praise the Lord till we meet tomorrow again.